This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's another edition of That Other Sports Show. And I'm telling you right now, I am heated right now. I am not feeling it right now. And I'm about to lay some wood on some Buffalo Bills, hashtag Bills Mafia folks out there. So get ready for it. That's how I'm opening up this segment. But outside of what everybody is talking about right now, the Stephon Diggs trade to the Houston Texans, we also are going to cover every single match at WrestleMania 40 on both nights, night one and night two, culminating in the night one main event of The Rock and Reigns versus Cody and Seth. And then, of course, the end of night two, which will be the undisputed Universal Championship between Roman Reigns and Cody, the American Nightmare Rhodes. We will get to that. So, hashtag Tribal Chief. Hashtag Cody Crybabies. Be ready. We got it all for you. WrestleMania is going down on today's pod. But without further ado, let me get to you the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Jason Valdez.
What do you guys want to talk about? It's WrestleMania weekend. We're going to talk about CM Punk. We're going to talk about Ronda Rousey. Jess, do you feel confident in pulling up the WrestleMania Vegas odds, or do you want me to give it a shot?
While you are explaining more, I will see if I can pull up those odds.
Thank you so much. So we're going to, you know, when Jesse and I just kicked the can on a few ideas, and we started kicking the can on this particular episode a few days ago, we got started. I says we should probably focus mostly on the pro wrestling. We got UFC 300 next week, and that card is so fucking stacked that we want to wait and dedicate a whole show to just that. So this week, you're getting 90% WrestleMania, but we're doing a little 90-10. We did call an audible here, because about, I don't know, 30 minutes ago, Stephon Diggs got traded, and Jess and I checked in again like last night, yesterday at some point. I'm like, all right, dude, it's all WrestleMania. Let's go. Maybe we'll talk about this, but we're doing all WrestleMania. And, you know, the sports world is just so wacky. And I feel like the last two or three of the last 7-8 episodes, something has happened as we're taping, which I always love because you get that true first reaction. And Jess is fired up. I said, Jess, we saving Bills Mafia for the end of the show?
Hell no.
He said, no. So, Jess, I want to look at what the trade is because, in my opinion, this trade looks more like a we just want to get him the fuck out of here and less of a they're going to sit and wait and see if they can get max value, which puzzles me because it seemed like he was doing some of the blurred lines, I think I want out of here type of shit last season. Or maybe it was the season before.
It's the last couple seasons. There's been the mysterious tweets.
Yeah. He's very vague tweets. And shout out to Jess, you know, a real pro Bills Mafia, the John Cena of Bills Mafia. He's always going to put a positive spin on it. He's always going to give you 4 mock drafts a week. He's just, and the last 2 days, the last 48 hours, he's been like finding every negative Stephon Diggs tweet, and he's got a retort for it. He's like, hold up. And I think it's all been good substance stuff, and the Bills reward you by trading him for a sack of potatoes in 2025.
They didn't even cut the skin off the potatoes. They didn't deep fry them, bitches. It's a
fucking whole potato.
They just unwashed. Gave us a whole fucking potato. A whole, said, here you go.
Here's the whole unwashed potato, but it's a big potato. It's got a lot of potential.
It's got potential.
Jeff, go ahead. The floor is yours.
So the official trade, and this is coming between me and our boy Justin Chastain, as known as at Justin Von Doom on Twitter. Huge Texans guy, right? So the initial text I get from Justin is 2 exclamation marks. That's it. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like crazy, right? So we're talking. The official trade is the Texans trade their 2025, not 2024, not no first round, 2025 second round pick that will depend on where the Vikings end this season. If the Vikings surprise people, the pick is higher. If they are as shitty as people are thinking they might be, then it'll be a decently kind of okay second round pick.
Here comes that optimistic spin. Early. Let's go.
Early pick. So the Bills, however, and this is where it gets deep in the thick of things, right? Like, this is where it gets deep in the woods. The Bills give the Houston Texans a 30-year-old, I still feel primed and ready to play wide receiver one, Stephon Diggs. That's my take on Diggs. I don't think that he's lost a step. I think that the Buffalo Bills offense just simply changed last season under Coach Joe Brady. And he changed the offense to spread the ball around to multiple targets instead of just targeting Stephon Diggs. That's why Diggs' numbers were, in my opinion, skewed from previous years. The Bills give the Texans Diggs. They give him a 2025 fifth-round pick. And then they also are giving them a sixth-round pick for this season's draft. You are trading your start. You're basically giving them your second best player on your team. And you're saying, not only are we going to give you our second best player, but we're going to give you a fifth round pick for next year. So basically a fifth for a second next year. And we're going to give you a sixth round pick this year that you can obviously use in trades to trade up or down or whatever, or, you know, players, whatever, in this year's draft. So congratulations, Houston Texans. In my opinion, unless the Buffalo Bills can trade for Justin Jefferson, the Houston Texans are now better than the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, geez. Wasn't ready for this one.
That
you didn't prep me for that one.
I'm giving you the hot take right now. The Buffalo Bills need a prime receiver. Josh Allen's numbers will be good because Josh Allen can spread the ball around. He will obviously run the ball. Josh Allen is a top three guy. But as I tweeted earlier, the great quarterbacks who will go down in history as legitimate, no doubt in anyone's mind, Hall of Fame quarterbacks are quarterbacks who have won rings. And you know why they won rings? Because they most likely had a number one wide receiver that they played with for many years. Josh Allen had Diggs for 5. They were Super Bowl contenders, or thought of to be, at least for 3 of those 5 years. And this last season was just a difference between offensive coaching and then Joe Brady, bringing in Brady and letting Brady spread the ball around, like I said earlier. Yeah, I'm super pissed. I'm super heated.
I want to just jump here and say this.
Please do.
You know, I believe Josh is an elite quarterback. I think you know, he is in that 2 or 3. I know you'd love to put him at 1 or 2, but you got to win rings. You got to win AFC championships, in my opinion. That's where our opinions differ right now. But I will say this. The greats always have the ability to make average receivers above average and above average receivers superstars, and superstars Pro Bowlers, and so on and so forth. And I think we'll see that with Gabe Davis wherever he went. But I think Josh is gonna be great whenever. But and we had this conversation during the year last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would assume that was not a great year for Stephon. Did he have
his last 1,200 yards? His last 7 games, he had less than 3 games with 100 yards, and less than 3 games averaging more than 1 touchdown a game.
Did he finish?
Statistically speaking, he started the season off terrific, but again, they were funnel feeding him the ball for the first 8 games. Mm. But then Brady really started kicking in and taking over the offense, everything changed, and it changed a lot for Steph. That's where,
and they started running the ball too. They were
running James the Cook. Ball. James Cook was running the ball, and let's not forget, as far as Bills Mafia is concerned, James Cook was attempted to become a poor man's LaDainian Tomlinson type, where he could catch the ball out of the backfield and run the ball. So he was also kind of stealing targets from Steph as well.
To kind of flesh it out a little bit more, if you think about our show as a whole, we have not done a lot of football talk in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks, since really after the Super Bowl. And I think part of that was because neither of our team made a splash during free agency. We didn't have that. Yo, we got to last 20, 30 minutes of what's going on with free agency, because this guy's going here and this guy's going there. And I think maybe if there was a splash in Buffalo or a splash in Dallas, we would have went like, yo, we got to talk about this. But we left it as is. So I'm interested in your perspective here, and I am not a big fan of talking football before the draft. I'm not a big fan of talking football in April, and it's fucking April 3rd or whatever it is. But right now, would you say the Jets are better than Buffalo?
I think so. The Jets, player-wise, they got better. They got defensive guys. They took one of your offensive linemen from Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm super pissed about that, because I love the fact that, like, I was hoping to wreck Aaron Rodgers one more season.
Yeah, and they're going
to
get Aaron Rodgers back.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. He's going to be healthy. And that one incident that happened last season on the first or second play of his season is not most likely not going to happen again, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have gotten better. The Dolphins, although not necessarily have they gotten better, they've gotten better in certain departments.
Yeah, but they got
defense.
Worse, though. You know this, too, on their front line. They lost a big, meaty man on the front line. Wilkins, right?
They lost Christian Wilkins. That one is going to hurt. But here's the thing. I think that Buffalo and Miami right now, looking at it from a player standpoint, Buffalo and Miami are neck and neck, right? And you can say Buffalo maybe because they still have Josh, and I do believe that Josh is a better quarterback than Tua. You can say that, you know, Tyreek Hill and some of these guys are better receivers, obviously, than what the Bills have on their team right now. So I'm going to say, you know, they're right at that line. The Jets, I think, are ahead better. Not head and shoulders better, but ahead better than both from a player standpoint. They have Breece Hall, who's going to come in and be healthy this season. And he was really having a great season last year before that injury happened, like mid-season. Aaron Rodgers didn't play at all. If Aaron Rodgers comes back, he starts passing the ball around. They got a couple new receivers. They got some better defensive players. They got some better offensive linemen. The Jets are primed to make at least a playoff run this season with Rodgers at the helm. So the Bills and the Dolphins, whatever happens in the draft and the rest of free agency, which probably won't be much until the draft, that's really going to determine both their seasons.
I also assume every receiver on the Jets gets better because, again, you're going from average to above average to elite. And I would assume the running backs – they had a kid there that can catch a ball. Was it Hall? They had a kid there that can catch.
They have Breece Hall, and they had a couple other receivers.
They have another running back that kind of plays
out of the backfield.
They lost. What was it? They lost the other Cook, right? They lost Dalvin Cook. So I'm Lord knows where he's at now. Bring him into Dallas. Jess, I'm not sure how much more football we want to do. Do you think now? It's almost impossible to me again. It's just way too early. But you got to rank Texas, right? The Texans right there next to Kansas City. Is that too crazy?
I think right now
it's too crazy.
With the team. So Houston has built a young team through the draft, much like the Bills did. And I think building through the draft is a smart way to go. Ask Andy Reid. Andy Reid's done it for years. That's how he's built a lot of Super Bowl teams, is built through the draft. The Texans have built a strong team through the draft, including getting their franchise quarterback, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was a top five quarterback statistically last year.
He had a hell of a playoff run. We talked about this
so
in the draft during the football season.
You still have Nico Collins. You got their rookie from last year who had a few really spectacular games, Tank Dell. You've got the running backs out there. You're going to add Stephon Diggs.
Who did they get? Didn't they get a good running back? Who did they get?
The Bijan Robinson from Texas.
I thought they had no.
No, that was Atlanta. Yeah,
I thought they got someone in free agency. I could have swore the Texans.
Maybe they got Dalvin Cook. I don't know. I know that the Texans' offense has gotten better. Their offensive line has gotten better, and they've snagged some defensive guys from free agency as well. So they're trying to build a playoff caliber team. Adding Stephon Diggs makes it scary because you at one point in time had Nico Collins, who is a good receiver. Big, tall, strong, physical guy.
We talked about how great this guy was all year, Jess. Yeah. You know this. We were early on the Nico stuff.
Nico has high ceiling potential. I want to say a little bit like a Mike Evans. He's built a lot like Mike. He might be a little taller than Mike.
He's a little taller. Hey, but you know what, Jess? Now you've got my wheels turning, and you nailed it. They might have one of the best wide receiving cores when you add Diggs and you have Tank.
They also have Dalton Schultz, who I love
as a Jason.
And he's still able to catch football just fine.
Man, they're gonna be a tough out. But now again, you got my wheels turning because I'm thinking the Bengals are gonna be better next year. Is Pittsburgh gonna be better next year? We all think Cleveland might be better because maybe Watson figures it out. Their defense,
I think Cleveland definitely takes a step back. No, I think Cleveland takes a step up, but not much. I think Pittsburgh will be the dominant team. I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore will fight for that division.
Duh, I even mentioned Baltimore like that. And then who knows who comes out of the South.
And don't think that Baltimore is going to get any worse in the draft because Harbaugh knows how to draft.
They're going to do well. Are the Colts going to progress?
If Anthony Richardson
AR-15 back, were they going to get some guys that are going to improve that?
But they also, they just lost one of their star receivers too, though.
Was it Pittman? Did they lose Pittman?
Yeah, Pittman. They lost Pittman to Richardson.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. What about now? I'm in the South. Is Jacksonville progressing?
No, Jacksonville has potential. They've had potential for a long time.
I'm not gonna pick up my guy. You already know you're a T-Lock guy.
The Prince, Trevor Lawrence. He has potential, but if you look at the numbers, he's not done nothing to pop off the page. They picked up Gabe Davis in free agency. And they're calling him a Swiss Army knife of a wide receiver. I don't see it. I haven't seen it in all 3 or 4 years that he was in Buffalo. He's a sprint out and try to beat his corner type of guy. I've not seen him do a whole lot else. And I've seen him have stone hands plenty of times. I do trust some of the other receivers that they have. But Jacksonville, I think, is going to stay right around where they were last year.
Man, I love it. All right, Jess. We're cut. Any last Stephon Diggs thoughts, memories?
All I want to say is the biggest memory I have, unfortunately, and a lot of like jaded Bills fans go to the drop pass in the playoffs last year. I go to the AFC Championship game against Kansas City where it was just that battle. And Steph was the last player. He was the last person in the damn stadium just standing there staring. That to me was a huge, like, that was like the end of everything. If there was ever going to be a disconnect from a football team, that was the moment. Steph knew that that was the shot. That was the chance that they had, and they blew it. That's the memory I leave when Stephon gets out of Buffalo. That's it. And I love Diggs. People will sit there and label him diva and everything else. But you know what? I love Diggs. I love the passion that he brought to the football team. I love the passion that he brought to the locker room. And you know what? The guy, he balls, man. He balls out. He's a true professional when he's on that field. So I'm not going to say shit about his attitude. He's in Houston now. He's a Texan. He's going to get past footballs from CJ Stroud. And I guarantee that there will be no bad blood between him and Josh. No one's going to say anything bad about each other. Josh loves Steph. I think Steph loves Josh. I think it was just a football team thing.
I'm going to really – one last football question. I'm not going to let you spend more than 10 seconds on it. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
I do not have the odds up. This is just me going off the top of my head. Buffalo Bills over-under win total, 8.5. Where are you going?
I'll go over.
Oh, you homer.
But I'm not saying it's like 11, 12, 13 wins.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have a ton of confidence in it, but you said you're there.
I'm going over.
You're there. All right. I don't know if I agree with that, by the way.
And I will say that my last take is I don't think that there's any way Buffalo can find a way into the top even eight of the draft with what they have to give.
Oh, you have to be right there in the middle, just like the Dallas Cowboys the last 20 years. Just right there in the middle.
So all talks fucking of getting 17. Malik Nabers or getting Rome Odunze or
none
getting
of that. None of that's happening.
Like, it's not – none of it's happening, so –
Why? I mean, again, more football. Why wouldn't you use Stephon Diggs as a piece to try and move 100%. Up in the fucking draft, even if you're not trading to the Texans
and even
any
if,
of those teams?
And even if you are upset with Steph on a personal level, maybe he's leaked some shit into the locker room, maybe. Why don't you just tell him, look, man, you're contractually obligated to play for our franchise for one more full season. You're going to play or you're going to lose out on all incentives and you can sit your ass on the bench. So you can either play and help us win games or you can sit there and just whine and cry and complain and no one's going to listen to your ass for one whole season. Pick or choose.
Was it ever leaked that he said, I'll fucking sit the whole year this year?
He's never said one thing about sitting. He's never said one thing. The last tweet was something about somebody had mentioned in a tweet with Steph attached that Josh's numbers were just as good at the end of the season with Steph's decline as they were at the beginning of the season when he was passing mainly to Steph. And something about, does Steph really make Josh elite? And then a bunch of people said, no, Josh is elite even without Steph. And then Steph just said, sure, with a question mark.
You see, he's very vague.
I love Steph to death. I love the vague tweets. I think that they're actually hilarious. I think he's a very smart man. And I'm going to tell you what, like, if you look at Josh post Stephon Diggs years, he was throwing to a bunch of nobodies and his numbers were not very good. His interception totals were a lot higher than they have been. And they're still pretty high.
Man.
And now if you take Diggs away and even if you go get him a rookie receiver and then you play him with Khalil Shakir, with which I love Shakir, and then you play him with Curtis Samuels, who I'm in love with Curtis as far as being a number two.
Yeah, but he's not
guy,
a one, dude.
But
he's not a one. He's not a one. They don't have a true one right now.
The Bills have no true one on that football team, and that is going to hurt them when they're trying to potentially make a playoff push at the end of the season.
And one's not just going to fucking pop out of thin air.
No. And I don't like the idea of trading for T. Higgins because I don't believe that T is the number one. I believe that he's a really good number two. But he is not a number one. I don't know if there's a number one in the draft potentially. But do you really want to trade your true right now wide receiver one for the potential of a Rome Odunze potentially becoming a number one? Does he become a number one this year? He's not Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson was special from the start, and there was no doubt about that. None of these receivers pop off the board and say, this is going to be the next Justin Jefferson.
Let me say this, and then we're moving on after this. Buffalo Bills, Odell Beckham, collision course. All right.
Are we going to rewind the clock to 2015 or what?
So let me say this. Let me start with saying this, Jeff.
Please.
We're going to be on two sides of the coin here. We're going to be playing a little good cop, bad cop. But I do want to say this. I want to start by saying this. I absolutely love The Rock. And it is fucking impossible to argue against The Rock being the wrestler of the year. And I know he has not wrestled one goddamn match. But who has been better with every single thing that he's done? Who has attracted more eyeballs? Who is being talked about on that Hulk Hogan level that you would get in the 80s and early 90s than The
There's
Rock?
No one.
They weren't talking about Roman Reigns on Entertainment Tonight. Like, none of that. The way he's popping right now was so fucking crazy.
If Arsenio Hall was still around, he would have already done the Arsenio Hall show three times.
He would have already went on after Macho Man, where Macho Man dropped the greatest line in the history of any interview, where he says, you know, Arsenio, I've soared with the eagles and I've swam with the sharks, brother. I think everything that The Rock is doing right now is incredible. With that said, I'm going to pick on him a little bit as we get into both of these nights, Jesse. I'm looking at night one. Do you have the Vegas gambling lines up?
I do. I have Vegas odds up from Bet Online.
I'm going to go with what I see, according to Wikipedia, the most trusted resource in all of the world, for the WrestleMania lineup. This is supposed to be the card, the actual lineup. We all know Triple H should come in, take this lineup, fucking crumble it up in a fucking piece of paper, wipe his ass with it, and fucking write a whole nother one. But we're going to go with this one, Jess. The first match, the opening match. Give me the odds and then give me who you got. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch kicks the show off for the Women's World Championship.
So according to our friends, and I say that loosely because they don't know who we are, mm-hmm. BetOnline.com, mm-hmm. who has all the Vegas odds, Rhea Ripley is a minus 500 favorite. She's a huge favorite in this match. Wow. Becky Lynch is plus 300. She's 3-1 odds to win this match. It's not the greatest.
I am so glad that you brought this up because I was already in my mind thinking that Becky had a shot, but then I hear the lines and the lines are here to like straighten me out and tell me, like, no, actually, you're heads up your ass.
The worst is it says that Rhea actually opened at 1 out of 4. Oh. And now she's moved to 1 out of 5. So.
Okay. Well, so the money's coming in.
The money's coming in.
Who you got?
I got Rhea Ripley. She's on probably one of the greatest runs in entertainment history as far as being a champion is concerned, especially holding the women's championship belt. People I don't think have ever given the women's champion the credit that they deserve because, you know, they're not 6'4" and 275 pounds with muscles and everything else, you know, like, so I think that Rhea comes in, she's got a great body build, right? Like she's a big, strong woman. She also has sex appeal, which works well for the WWE, selling merchandise and pictures and posters and everything else. And then on top of that, her mic skills have always been good. Despite the heavy accent, her mic skills have still always been very good. And they've only gotten better with the mommy shtick and this stuff going on with Dom Mysterio.
Yeah, hard to disagree. Don't want to be super dismissive of Becky. It would not shock me if Becky won this match, but I don't think that that's what's happening. And I don't think it would be the smart move booking. I think you book Rhea as a champion for the next 2 years. And I think
wait for Charlotte. That's what I think.
Or how about this? You have her wrestle Jade next year and you do the Cody Roman thing. She loses, Jade loses, and then comes back the following year and she gets her finish the story.
Yeah,
that's what I think you do with Jade. Because if you look at it, is there anyone other than Mommy with the physique anywhere close to Jade? No,
you got a point there. Jade and Mommy, they got it.
And I know, Belair has an unbelievable body, like that fitness. What do you call it? Like she can go into competitions. Her six pack is sick. But I mean, I think that Jade has the six pack on top of the six pack, which is very rare. Jess, the next match that I see, Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I'm going to bet that Gunther's like a plus 400, Jess. Give me the number on this.
Gunther is a minus 300 favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry, minus. Okay.
Yeah, wow. He's a minus 300. So you're close. You're close. Okay. He's minus 300. I went plus. I meant Sami Zayn's plus 200, underdog. I'm not even sure about these odds. I don't really like them. I think that these are the odds. It's a great pick for Sami if you want to throw a couple bucks on it, because, I mean, it's not a bad deal. Gunther, I think, is going to win this match. I think that he is the most prolific, stylistic wrestler in the WWE right now?
I love Gunther, a.k.a. Walter, and I'm not sure what else you could have done here, except maybe you have Dragunov come up from NXT, and you do Gunther versus Dragunov is like, oh, the only guy that's beat this guy in X amount of years is this guy. Like, this guy's always had his number. But maybe they do that next year. Again, I'm looking to next year. But in agreement with you, Jess, this is just kind of a weird spot for Sammy. And I know he's talked about it. He went from main eventing night one last year.
Well, remember the Bloodline stuff was so extremely good last year. It was a combination,
Jess, of him and KO were smoking hot. The Bloodline stuff. Because remember, he broke off of the Bloodline. And then him and KO got back together. So it was the big, the guys that never win it finally get to win it moment. And then you get the belts off the Bloodline. I like Gunther to win. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Next match. Then now we start to get where these matches don't make sense to me. Six-pack ladder tag team match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Both titles under the undisputed championship banner have to be retrieved for the match to end, making it possible for the titles to split between two winners. So, Jess, you may throw out two winners here. Are there odds on this one, or they take this one off the board?
No, they said this one's off the board, man. I don't.
I said fuck this one.
I got Jess, nothing on this.
Who you got, or is there a potential two winners? Do you need me to lay out the participants?
So let's see here. For the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, which is the longest fucking title of a match ever, you have the Judgment Day featuring Damian Priest, who I think is a waste of space, and Finn Balor, who is the smallest dude on the face of the planet. I would crush him under my thumb, I'm telling you right now. Versus Awesome Truth, The Miz, and R-Truth. I love both these guys as like comedy relief. I think The Miz has had great runs. I think R-Truth is one of the funniest dudes in the WWE. And I know for a fact that he will never touch gold because all he is to the WWE is comedy relief. And then you got DIY, which I absolutely love, with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Both those dudes, I think, were phenomenal coming up through NXT as singles individuals or individual wrestlers. As a tag team, these guys have fucking steel in their veins. I love these two dudes. I'm really hoping that they pull this off and win this match. But then we have more. You have the New Day, which is Kofi and Xavier. You have New Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Which also, by the way, I love those guys too. I hate the name of their tag team, New Catch Republic. Don't like NCR, but I love Dunne and I love Bate. And then A-Town Down Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, which both are extremely phenomenal singles competitors. But as a tag team, I hate. Out of this group of just mental frustration on paper, I'm going to go with the Judgment Day retaining their championship.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to go a completely opposite way.
Okay.
So as I mentioned there, Jess, and this really caught my attention the other day when I first read it, when I read the fine print. Making it, you know, both titles have to be retrieved for the match to end, making it possible for the titles to be split between the two winners. I don't know how they book it. I don't know what unique way they get there, but I think we're going to get the belt split, and I think they're going to go back to there's a SmackDown tag champ and there's a Raw tag champ, because it just gives a little bit more value. You know what I say, Jess? Sometimes
I agree with that.
Sometimes the titles give the wrestlers the rub, and some of these guys definitely need the rub. So here's where I think they go. I think Judgment Day loses.
Ooh.
I think you get DIY with one pair of the belts.
SmackDown.
And I think you get New Day with the other belts. Which would be
so wrong. Overplayed.
But the kids love it. There's so many people that love it, Jess.
Do people still love New Day?
Dude, I was just at an event and they came out and they got a fucking pop like you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
Had all 9,000 of those motherfuckers in the same.
I'm just waiting for Big E to come back. I want Big E to come back.
I need one of the two. Either he comes back safely or he just doesn't come back because his neck's all jacked. And I don't want that guy getting hurt.
Obviously, I want him to come back safe.
Yeah, he's just a good
big
guy.
Big E to me, he completed New Day.
Take 2 years off.
Kofi is like kind of long in the tooth. And I get it. He's a good competitor. He's still athletic. He's a little bit older on the older side now. He's been in WWE for a long time. Xavier has been on the circuit for a long time. But Xavier, like, I feel like they've tried him as a singles competitor, and it's not really worked out. Kofi obviously has had an actual title run where he's been the champion. But, again, back in the do-rag Vince days, if you weren't 6'4" and 245 pounds plus, like, you weren't really his true champion. So Kofi being, you know, like 6 foot, like a 155 maybe, you know, not really pushing that envelope for Vince, not do-rag Vince. Maybe for Trips, I don't know, but don't see it.
Trips is loyal. Let me say this, and we'll move to the next match. Austin Theory cannot tell me that there's not a little bit of, like, disappointment when you go from beating John Cena last year to you're in this match, the scrum of a match with fucking 8 other people. I know, and I see these matches as these guys get WrestleMania paydays, which is fucking awesome, and they get to have maybe a potential WrestleMania moment, but I just see it, like, again. Like, it's a fucking, it just seems like a
so step. I want to add one thing to your Austin theory. If there's one guy in the WWE that I could see being a champion and being a loved champion elsewhere, say maybe AEW.
No, this is a wild take.
It's Austin Theory.
That's a crazy take. I love it. He would walk in and immediately start looking like one of the beefier boys in the building.
Oh yeah,
he's jacked as fuck.
He's a big dude. Him and MJF maybe even having a little partnership.
Turning some heel maybe. Yeah, I need that. I love where your head's at. Now you're fucking cooking on the front burner. Yeah, let's hit. I like that. Okay, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso.
Why is this even happening?
Because this is a big moment for the Usos. This is their Marty Jannetty versus Shawn Michaels match. This is their big match. This is it. At some point, Rick wrestled Scott Steiner. It could happen.
That's true.
This is the culmination of what they've done for the past, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years. They've been on TV a long fucking time.
Yeah.
So I'm good with it, but much like you, my interest in it is meh. That's where I'm at. I'm assuming. Oh, is there odds on this?
There are odds on this match.
Is Jay the favorite?
Jay is the favorite.
Wow, I knew it. Yeah, I'm torn on this one because I like the idea of you have the heel win and the face lose, and then I mean, at some point they run it back, or I don't know. Give me Jay. I'm going Jay, Jess. Who you got?
I'm going Jay also. He is the favorite. That's not why I'm going there. I just think that if you have Jay win, you can go 2 or 3 different ways with the win. You can have Jay turn full heel and just turn like Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty type style. And then, you know, maybe Jimmy gets the boot from the bloodline altogether, like never to return to the family. He's the outcast forever now. If Jay wins, also now you have the fact that maybe what he does is goes and squashes Jimmy. But then at the end, after the 1, 2, 3 and like 3 or 4 super kicks in a row, like you see him change and feel bad that he's just done this to his brother. And now you see the face turn. And he turns and he embraces his brother. And then he pulls him in and says, no, we're bros. We're going to do this together. I'm going to bring you back. You're going to be part of the bloodline. You're going to be part of the family. They could have a thing where maybe both of them turn disappointments and Roman comes out and has Solo beat the shit out of both of them. Who knows? Lots of different ways, but I think it all ends with Jay winning this match.
I'm just torn. I'm not going to lie. I'm torn. The sad thing is, I don't have a ton of interest in it. However, I'm not going to come off. This is one of those matches I feel like, again, you can book it a few different ways, but I'm going to stay with Jay. Six-woman tag team match. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi. They're taking on Damage Control, which is Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Are there odds on this? I would assume it's like big for the faces.
Let me see. Odds for this match. Yeah, we have odds. And they are huge, huge odds.
For the faces?
For Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. They're huge favorites.
All right. Well, there it is, Jess. Who you got?
You know what? I'm going to go upset here, though.
Wild.
I'm going upset. I think that Bianca, Jade, Naomi, it's the easy pick. And Trips doesn't like to be outthought, so he's going to try to outthink everybody. Remember, he's this assassin, folks. I think that this plays into a much bigger part, especially when you're trying to bring Jade along a little bit longer. Jade is still very raw with her wrestling abilities. Yeah, sure, she's got the physique. Yeah, sure, the mic skills are getting better. But why not have Bianca, Jade, and Naomi lose this match to Damage Control, which is insanely popular, by the way. Insanely popular. And then have a little shock factor heading into, you know, the next Monday night or something like that. I'm going to say Trips pulls a yellow card and changes this up.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go with the heavy favorites. I like where your head's at. If from a booking perspective, you're doing something like Jade and Bianca bump heads or accidentally run into each other, you have that spot where they get fired up at each other and it ends up costing them the match. And then that goes into Bianca versus Jade. If you're doing something like that, sign me up. But I don't think that's what's happening. I think this is a WrestleMania. The heels get their comeuppance. Jade gets her fucking moment. She gets to get her shit in. She gets protected. Naomi gets to get her shit in. She's protected. And Bianca gets her big WrestleMania moment. And then it'll be like, if you...
I mean, has Bianca even lost at WrestleMania?
You know, that's a good question. And did she lose last year?
I cannot remember. If she did lose last year, she's still got a pretty sparkling record.
She might not. I can't remember.
You know,
she lose.
And let's not forget that Bianca is still a darling.
I think she won last year, dude. I'm thinking about it.
Everybody loves Bianca Belair. So,
well, it's, you know, she's in a weird spot where she's had an incredible run, but then you go, all right. With that said, why is she kind of like stuck in this match? Not to say it like that, but that's what's going on. Like, she's...
Look, I'm going to be real, man. This match is very mid.
And I think that's fair, but it's... Again, I look at it like you're getting the star power in, right? You're getting your true star power in. I'm trying to see right now what the fuck she did in WrestleMania. Oh, she beat Becky Lynch last year, so she did win last year. All right. So you might be right. She might be undefeated at WrestleMania, which is a...
I mean, maybe she's going to have a streak, a WrestleMania streak.
But, hey, it's time. They got to get someone up in that bench. I like it, though. It's a cool... WrestleMania girl moment, girl power.
Moment.
That's
yeah. You gotta have a little like inclusivity.
I'm with WrestleMania. I'm
so
with it.
Let's
again,
do it.
The heels gotta get their comeuppance at some point.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Everybody up. All right, the LWO, represented by Rey Mysterio, and it feels like his 20th WrestleMania. He's with Dragon Lee, who I remember we were talking wrestling a few months back, and you were like, who should I be looking out for? And I was like, Dragon Lee, he's pretty dope.
And he is.
He's taking on Santos Escobar and filthy, nasty, butt-naked, dirty Dominic Mysterio, one of Che Rollins' favorite wrestlers.
Raw Dog Dom.
Yeah. Ron Dizzle. Who you got in this, by the way? Are there odds? I have no idea. This feels like a pick 'em to me, dude.
No, you know what? I think that you got to break it down a little bit, right? So, Ray, super popular. Been in lots of WrestleMania. Has been in lots of big moments.
I feel like he's won way more than he's lost. I'll tell you that.
Won way more, most likely, than he's lost, especially in these WrestleMania moments. And then you are now introducing Dragon Lee to the WrestleMania moment era. And Dragon Lee is somebody that months ago you had spoken about to me personally on this pod, said, hey, you got to watch out for this guy. He's going to be a big deal. And Dragon Lee has become slowly, but I think I like the growth that they've been bringing him along with. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's crazy, like Ariel. He can do a lot of different things. I think that this is going to be his moment. I can't see Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar beating, you know, Big Daddy Ray and Dragon Lee. I just can't see it. Not in WrestleMania. There will not be a Rod Dizzle moment. It won't happen. Not this year. I think that Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee get this win.
This feels to me like could quietly be the best match of the night, because Rey and his dad have worked against each other so many times, so many years. Lee and Santos have been wrestling against each other for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you're going to get that, I hate to say AEW, but an AEW style, high flying, super kick party, spot fest type of match. A lot of kickouts. This just seems to me like it's going to, on paper, this is going to be a fun fucking match.
By the way, Vegas odds, real quick, say that Dom and Santos are the favorites.
Slights or high?
Slightly. Okay. Slight favorites.
I'm going to go with the LWO here just because Ray doesn't lose at WrestleMania. He's won more than he's lost. And I think they just love to give the fans that pop of Dirty Dom getting beat. Is Dirty Dom ever gonna? I can't see Dirty Dom ever winning at WrestleMania ever, unless he's tagged with Mommy or
not unless tagged, he ends up
tagged with Damian. If he's tagged with Balor, okay, but tagged with Santos Escobar, no.
Dom will have to reunite with his dad for one final WrestleMania moment. Then he will get his win
next year.
Maybe next year.
It would be cool. And now I'm being ROH clap 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 ROH clap clap clap. It would be nice if after this match you got him and his dad shaking hands.
Yeah, why not?
But no, because he showed up at his house and was like, he showed up at his house with Mommy and like the police got involved. That was
It's
a big deal. All right, Jeff.
Gotta make it right.
Right. Hey, listen, families fight. Police get involved. We're Mexican. It happens. main event, Saturday night, Bloodline, The Rock, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Franklin Rollins, Jess. This is going to be awesome. Who you got?
It is going to be awesome. Before I tell you who I got, Vegas odds say that The Rock and Reigns will win this match, at least they're the favorites to win this match, and they're favored by quite a bit. So maybe Vegas knows a little something that we don't know.
Yeah.
This is where my interest peaks, because what if they do? And what if my theory on The Rock's double heel turn is true?
Yes.
What if we have a Rock Roman versus Cody and Seth moment, but somewhere in between this match, which I do believe The Rock and Roman will win because it sets up for a greater story pitch for night two between Roman and Cody. So Rock and Roman win this match. But there's a disagreement somewhere. Maybe The Rock overshines and, you know, he overshadows Roman a bit, right? Jay, you said it earlier on the show. You talked about how The Rock could possibly be Wrestler of the Year, and he's not even had a wrestling match. He is such an influence on the industry in general that it has not mattered what AEW has done. As long as The Rock is shooting these crazy-ass promos where he's spitting out the F-word left and right, and he's beating the shit out of Cody Rhodes every other second, anything else matters in the pro wrestling world except for whatever The Rock is doing. And he has mattered so much that I went and just bought his shirt. So I just got a brand new Rock shirt in my closet right now. I'm going to wear it on WrestleMania night one and two.
You put it on your in the Twitter profile. You're pumped.
Yeah.
You're
ready. People's champ, baby. People's champ is what I'm doing. The Rock is a huge influence, and he doesn't need to wrestle. He can be in these little stunt promos in the ring, and he can cut his on mic promos. And the best thing is he's gone completely off script to a certain degree, where he's out there shooting them in the Iron Paradise, just clapping those lips at everybody. The Rock has changed the game. It is no longer the same WWE. They will have to eventually enter into a different era of WWE. But for right now, I want to see the final boss, hashtag final boss, versus hashtag head of the table. I want to see that. This is where I think the double heel turn works. What I think happens is Cody in night two is about to win. The Rock intervenes. He makes sure that Roman stays champion so The Rock can be the man that dethrones Roman Reigns at some type of event, whether it's SummerSlam or whatever. That's what I think happens.
I think you're onto something. With two key elements here. One, I think you can have. I think that Cody and Seth lose. I think Cody gets pinned by either The Rock or Roman, and I think you have to have the Bloodline rules the next night. I don't think that you get the heel turn or the bump, whatever animosity or whatever issues that stem from Rock and Roman happening that night, but I think there might be a little bit of maybe something starts, maybe they bump into each other or whatever. So I think that there might be something there. I think you're right. But I think it bleeds over into night two. And we talked about this on previous shows. I think when you get the 24 hours of his back against the wall more than ever, there's no chance Cody wins now because he's going to be facing The Rock. He's going to be facing this. I think that's when you get the big, there's no chance he wins, which makes Cody winning night two even more spectacular.
So I
think that you are onto something there. I don't know how it ends, but I do think that Cody gets pinned by either The Rock or by Roman. And I think they've done a really good job the past few weeks, the past like SmackDown and Raw, of trying to put over, no, these guys are the big bullies. These guys are the fucking Legion of Doom. No one is beating these fucking guys. They can do whatever they want. There's not a lot you can do. And Cody and Seth have just been fucking, they've been the dogs that are getting whooped. Now, I don't know what you do with Seth after this. Maybe they go back to Seth Roman. Maybe I don't know what you do, but I don't think that Seth gets pinned that night. Unless they do some type of weird Seth turn, which I guess is always in play, but I don't think makes sense because he's hotter than shit right now.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it makes sense right now.
So I don't think they do that. I don't think they do that. So I agree with you. I think that Roman and The Rock win. And I think if they're smart, they will do everything they can to protect The Rock. I think because this match is going to be like in ring 25 minutes, I bet. You and I talked about this.
I'm going to be honest. I'm worried about The Rock in ring for more than 15 minutes.
I think once we start getting to 10, 12, it's like those lungs.
Did you see him the other night when you have him come down, right? And he's like, oh, I'm going to go jump Seth. And then Cody comes down. And then Cody kind of gets his comeuppance a little bit. The Rock looked really stiff.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing him, when he would get hit by Stone Cold, right? You'd see the arm flail back and he had all this really active motion.
It seems to me one, he's got more muscle mass.
Well, yeah, he's got 50 more pounds of muscle.
He's a little bit older, so he's just not as athletic, which is a problem.
I'm just saying a 12 to 18 minute match. I almost think that it needs to be a squash.
It's gonna go longer.
I'm telling you, it cannot go 20 minutes. It's got to be a squash.
It's going to go with ring entrances, 35 minutes. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You got to have 5 minutes for Roman.
You think Trips is going to put The Rock through that?
You got to put 5 minutes for The Rock. You got to get 5 minutes for Cody. You got to get 5 minutes for fucking Seth. Oh, dude, it's going to be at least 20 minutes to get him fucking up and rolling.
That is...
I heard CM Punk, and I'm talking about CM Punk.
Yes, we got to get to CM Punk.
I heard CM Punk the other day say, or the other day, I was watching his video where he sits down with RKO. No, he sits down with Randy Orton, and they're watching their WrestleMania match. And CM Punk says, my first WrestleMania match was with Rey Mysterio. But Ray got caught in the elevator that pops him up, and they had to shave like 10 minutes off of our match. So he goes, so I don't even consider that my first WrestleMania match because it got cut short for fucking time. So I think that's so funny that, I mean, listen, Cody's fucking elevator breaks, Seth's something fucking breaks, some type of dumb shit happens. Like it could go a little longer. We'll see. Time will tell. But yeah. Oh, Jess, 40 minutes, 20 minutes of them getting in there. And then I'll tell you right now, you think this match goes over 20 minutes? I'm talking about from when the bell rings to when the bell rings, 20 minutes.
All I'm saying is I can understand with ring entrances and the whole, like,
no, I'm saying bell time to bell.
But bell to bell. If they want to truly protect what I believe that you already said, and I agree with you, they need to protect The Rock. They better make this 15 minutes and under, and they better make it a squash match.
I think you can go 25 minutes, and hear me out. Hear me out.
I don't know.
Hear me out. But Roman is doing all the fucking heavy lifting. I mean, The Rock's not taking bumps. He's not taking any bumps. He's just throwing punches. He's throwing kicks. He's hitting fucking backdrops. He is doing minimal fucking effort. The guy is wrestling like Yokozuna. And he's tagging out. He's fucking tagging out. And you're getting Roman doing all the fucking heavy lifting. And they're going to run that old school 80s. We're not letting our guy get a tag because Roman just keeps dragging him back. You can get a 25-minute match out of doing that. And you're protecting The Rock.
But it'll be ugly.
He goes, yeah, dude, the last 5 minutes is going to be bad. He's going to be sucking up all the goddamn air in that goddamn arena. He's going to be drinking the water bottles like he used to back in the day. But you go 5-6 minutes, you know, pop early, and then you tag out, and then maybe you pop in for another 2 or 3 minutes, and then you tag out, and then you really let Roman get in there for 7, 8, 9 minutes, and then you tag again, and then that's the last time you're tagging because you either get out, and that's it. Or you're getting in and you're getting your rock bottom. You're getting your fucking people's elbow. You're getting your pin. You're getting the fuck out of there.
I'm cool with. I don't even know like if I want to see The Rock go through the whole people's elbow.
What are you talking about?
No.
You're gonna pop so hard.
I want to see it, but like at the same time, like he. Okay, so I was really hoping that the lead up to introducing The Rock, introducing him to the Bloodline, going through the Cody stuff, and then into WrestleMania, that somebody somewhere would have been like, bro, you have to lay off the trend sandwiches, baby. Like, you have to, like, you got to jump off the, you got to jump off the test of bologna.
It's
like,
too late, Jess. It's way too late.
He is so big, and his body is so stiff and rigid. He has no movement. His head don't even really turn.
It's so late, Jess. It's too late.
Oh, it is way too far beyond that now.
It sounds terrible, right? But I just watched Yokozuna wrestle yesterday. It was the WrestleMania match against Brett. Now, yes. Brett was doing all the fucking heavy lifting, and Brett's doing all the dancing. But they got a 15-minute match in, and that motherfucker was 500 pounds. Or 400 at least. I mean, JR was saying he was 500.
But I also think that Yokozuna back then was probably also like 31 years old, 32, and he still was a champion sumo wrestler or something.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm like you with the fucking Bills trade pick. All right, let's keep it moving, Jess. Let's keep it going. Seth Franklin Rollins, Drew McIntyre, they're opening night 2. the whole CM Punk might be there. He might be ringside. He might fucking be in the stands. Hey, Jess, this guy loves to interject himself into fucking everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, CM Punk's he's done a great job since he started getting some big pop early in the 2000s. And he now does an even better job at interjecting himself into every single thing that he can possibly do. I've seen him on several interviews this week alone. The aerial thing was
it's
good.
It's just that one aerial interview where he decides to just shit on his former boss.
I love the fact that he would say like, oh, yeah, man, like, hey, no, Tony's a good guy, but he sucks at his fucking job.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know what's crazy is he loves to contradict himself. Two things here, and I promise you we'll not spend a ton of time on this. One, the guy loves to contradict himself, right? He said, which to me is like, maybe he's working, right? Because the guy is a true worker. The guy is, you know, he loves Roddy Piper. And everyone knows Roddy Piper was one of those blur the line guys. So yes, he loves to blur the fucking line. But he's a hypocrite. He's a fucking hypocrite. And I think it looks bad when you say things like you just said, right? Like that the company is shit and they're not looking to make a profit. They're just looking to pop geeks and get 5-star ratings in a third of an empty building, or the building's 2/3 of empty. But you're also going to say, well, I have friends that work there and I want to support my friends that work there. That don't sound like you're supporting your fucking friends that work there when you're talking shit like that. Another thing is, you know, this dude, for the last 10 years, Jess, seems to always be in the middle of some shit, but at the same time is never a part of the problem. He's always got a solution, but he's never a part of the fucking problem. Bro, at some point, you have to recognize if you're in the middle of the shit all the time, you might be part of the problem. You just don't, no one's either you're not addressing it or you're lying to yourself. You know, for this dude to act like he was a vet and he was one of the guys that was supposed to be a mentor, if you will, like Bryan Danielson and these guys, you're telling Tony Schiavone that you don't want to fucking help out with the Jungle Boy Jack Perry stuff. You're telling him, oh, I'm going to handle it my way. You're not going to like the way I handle it. And then you're saying, I just choked him a little bit. Bro, there's no mentorship there. Like, and if the guy is a snot-nosed punk, whatever. That's a whole nother can of worms. But it's just there's too much contradiction and there's too much hypocrite shit on top of you seem to be in the middle of the shit for the last 10 years, but for whatever reason, it's never your fault. There's just too many receipts. You know what I mean? To me, it's like you're going to go on an aerial show for 2 hours and for an hour and 10 minutes talk about AEW. Like, well, and I know it's like, you know, some of that's on Ariel, right? Ariel's asking all the right questions, and he knows at some point he's going to have to answer a lot of this shit. So why not do it then? But within that hour and 10 minutes of you sharing all that shit, again, you're at some point going to contradict yourself and come off a little bit hypocritical.
I think that CM Punk is not Phil Brooks as much as he is CM Punk. And he kind of has... Remember when the Warrior went from... You know, he was the Ultimate Warrior, but he, you know, he was a name, you know, and then he was like, no, I've changed my name. I'm the Warrior. Like, I can literally see, like, in my mind, CM Punk being like, nah, my first name's CM and my last name's Punk. Like, I'm CM Punk, man. Like, he is all the time. And don't get me wrong, he is one of the greatest workers that the industry has ever seen. I've never seen anybody, like, outside of, like, a few other wrestlers go to the extreme to get pops and to get those hits and to put fans in the seats and to sell that merchandise. And in the aerial interview, he had said, Well, Tony said that, you know, he wanted to bring me over because, you know, he wanted butts in the seats and he wanted to sell merchandise and he wanted me to main event, you know, big matches. But here's the thing, man, like it becomes an issue when he comes over and he did have some big matches. He did. Him and Jericho, him and MJF, like him and Danielson, him and, you know, he was in some big matches. But at what point in time does the talent get reviewed and you say, like, man, Phil's really lost a step or two where we have some of these younger guys that look better, faster, stronger, you know, maybe not as good on the mic, but they're definitely not slouches. And then Phil starts sliding down the roster scale a little bit, and that's what was really happening. And guys like Jungle Boy Jack Perry was honestly, he was on a come up. Was he an asshole every week
and a vital part of AEW? Was he as vital as Punk? Of course not, but still a vital
No, but he was still on the come up. Was he an asshole in the locker room? Maybe. You know, like from what other, but you know, guys like Bryan Danielson, he didn't say shit about Perry.
Well, not only that, you know what I mean? But not only that, you're not going to get along with every single person in the locker room. It's the same in every sport, NBA, no, NFL, MLB. You're not going to get along with all of your teammates, and that's okay.
But Punk has always been a Punk first guy. Mm-hmm. And to basically set my point, it's the same as what you were saying, except I was long winded about it. Punk is a Punk first guy. He's always going to be a Punk first guy. And when the WWE starts spreading the wealth around and guys like Austin Theory, you know, who we were talking about, some of these other up and coming guys, when they start beating Punk in the ring and they start getting better pops in the ring, Punk's going to want to bounce then too.
And I think that's going to go one of two ways. And I in agreement with what you're saying. He's either going to go, I'm good with this because this is the way the old school old guard is, and I claim to be that type of guy, so I'm good with it. Or he's going to do the that doesn't work for me, brother. And if we get to a that doesn't work for me, brother, with the younger guys, well, then he is once again a fucking hypocrite. All right, Jess, Seth Franklin Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Who you got?
McIntyre is the heavy favorite, and heavy. He should be. He's a heavy favorite, and I do think that Drew, it's Drew's time. I do. I think Drew's healthy. We talked on the pod like a week or two ago. I said the only thing about Seth dropping the belt to Drew is, can Drew stay healthy enough to defend and, you know, continuously be a fighting champion, which this championship is really what it's all about, being a fighting champion. I think that Seth is better suited for other things. I think that his career can go any way he wants it to be. He's that big in the sport and in the industry. He can do whatever he wants. I think that, you know, this is a good time for Drew to take that belt from Seth.
Yep. In agreement with everything that you're saying, I like Seth. I think Seth has had a really remarkable run here. He's been the people's champ with regards to the guys at every fucking house show, working Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, weekends, defending that belt against Nakamura and whoever else they got him wrestling. But you're right. It's Drew's time, barring injury. You think he may have a good little run here. He's hot on the mic. He's got, as we talked about earlier, he checks all boxes when it comes to WWE superstars. The physique, the look, the height, all that good stuff. And Seth needs a little bit of a break here. It makes sense to do the old, he just got his ass kicked last night and now you're asking him to open up this night. It's just, we're asking too much. Drew beats him. I think Drew beats him. I don't know if Drew beats him clean, but Drew beats him.
I think Drew beats him clean, by the way. And I think it just solidifies the fact that, like what you're saying, and I do agree with that also, that Seth has been a fighting champion. He's been everywhere. He's been doing everything. He's been in front of the camera with multiple superstars. It's time for him to take a little break. Becky is back. I think that maybe now Seth takes a little daddy time. And, you know, maybe he plays dad a little bit, you know, while Becky, you know, gets back in the spotlight.
All right, next match. I'm going to actually end up using this match as a springboard to get my Ronda Rousey take on. Io Sky versus Bayley. Singles match, WWE Championship. I would guess Bayley's heavy favorite here, Jess. Is that correct?
Yes, Bayley is a pretty heavy favorite.
Do you think Io Sky has any chance in this match?
I do.
Oh.
I do.
Wow.
I think that She's definitely been an up and comer in the wrestling world. She's had some matches that people have really been talking about. I think that there's a slight chance that Trips could pull the trigger on it, but in reality, it probably won't happen. So I'm going to say that Bayley does end up winning this match.
Yeah, this is Bayley's WrestleMania moment, and I think it kind of got shuffled a little bit. I wish they would have had her either open the show or be the match before Roman versus Cody. I'm not sure why you wouldn't have it there. Maybe it gets moved around, but I think having Bayley second on the card winning the championship, I hate to say it diminishes or devalues her WrestleMania moment, because winning the fucking championship in WrestleMania, it's the largest achievement. But I just wish it was a little further down the card. Jess, when I look at give me a second. Jess, when I look at the Ronda Rousey thing, which is being discussed here, you know, funny, just to crowbar her ass in here. You know, she said here in this recent interview, because she's doing a bunch of book tours here, that she considers herself the greatest woman's mixed martial artist of all time. Do you agree with that?
No, not even close. I think she's a very influential.
Yes. Okay. So let me ask you this:
mixed martial artists.
Let me ask you this: would you think it's a fair assessment to say she is a pioneer of women's mixed martial arts?
She is a generational pioneer.
Wow, you put an extra word on there. Okay.
Before her, there was the Misha Tates, there was the Cyborgs.
Yeah.
And,
That's fair. I mean, you knew of them, but she wasn't the person that brought the UFC, the women's mixed martial arts to the UFC, which is the largest platform.
Pioneer.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't believe that she kickstarted the sport for women. I don't think that that's she, fair. I think she added to it. Yes, very much so.
If you want to say she took the torch and took it to another level, is that?
Yes.
Fair? Okay. I think Ronda is the pioneer of women's mixed martial arts, along with those names that you mentioned in a group of women whose names should be mentioned. And I think when it comes to Ronda, the fact that she brought women's mixed martial arts to the UFC was that first bout for a championship 10 years ago. And now you've got these 2-3 different divisions and all these great different fighters. I think that solidifies her as a pioneer. I think Royce Gracie is a pioneer, but I don't think Royce Gracie is one of the greatest fighters of all time.
No.
I think everyone knows who Royce Gracie is because everyone knows Gracie Jiu-Jitsu just from there being Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gyms splattered throughout America, the world, if you will. I think Ronda, you know, was a crossover star, movie star, a pioneer. But I don't think that that equates to her being the greatest of all time. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to say she's a pioneer. She's just not the greatest of all time. I think that's...
That's a fair assessment.
When I think of the greatest of all time, I think of Cyborg. I think of Amanda, and I think of Johanna Violence. Those are the first three fucking names that come to my mind. When I think of pioneers of combat sports, I think it's
let's keep it to women's combat.
I knew we were gonna do that, and I wasn't trying to do that. I was not trying to do that. So yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at here, Jess. Do you have anything?
I just want to ask you real quick. If you could put a Mount Rushmore of women's, and we've done this before, who's your four? Who's your four faces?
Of
women's,
the Mount Rushmore?
Women's mixed martial arts.
Oh, no, we just did this. Shit. Amanda, Johanna Violence. I think you have to put Ronda on there, and then Cyborg.
I agree.
I think those are the four. All right. Okay, let's keep it moving here, Jess. LA Knight, AJ Styles. I would assume LA Knight is favored here.
LA Knight's highly favored in this.
Okay. This is them going, LA Knight, you were awesome. You've had an incredible run this year. The Rock is back. The shtick may need to change a little bit. but here's your reward. You're going to get a win over AJ Styles at WrestleMania. That's my prediction. I think he beats AJ. I don't think this match goes longer than 15 minutes. Jess, what do you think?
I really want to say AJ Styles wins this match. I think AJ Styles deserves to win this match. But I think that possibly what we're seeing is an AJ Styles retirement circle.
Mm.
I possibly think that it's coming to that point. AJ's been in the business for a long time. He's had a lot of injuries. And yeah, he came back and, you know, he looked phenomenal. And, you know, physically at least. But I have not really seen him in a lot of matches since his comeback. And I think that they're trying to protect him. I think that LA Knight, I think he's a little bit more Stone Cold than he is The Rock. But I think that he is a mixture of several, you know, Attitude Era superstars. So I don't really know where he fits. I love LA Knight. I love the shtick. I love the LA Knight. I love it. You know, yeah, I love it. But I don't think now any longer, especially with the way that things have been going in the championship scene on both sides, I don't think that he's really in that mix. If Drew McIntyre wins, I could see a potential, you know, LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre somewhere down the road. I think that Drew McIntyre opens up more matches than Seth holding onto the belt. But as far as this match goes, I do agree with you. I think LA Knight gets the win. I think that this is kind of his, you know, big thanks from Trips for, you know, going out there and doing the big thing and taking some lumps for us along the road. And I think he picks up the win over AJ.
All right. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Triple threat match on Twitter. I crowned this weeks ago when this was announced as Logan Paul being able to say that he has a WrestleMania win over both Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I am not coming off of this, Jess. Who you got?
I really want Randy to win this match, but I don't. I think that Logan is he's the favorite, and I think he's a favorite for a reason. I think that at this point in time, Logan Paul, he can be anything that the WWE wants him to be. He's really coming to his own over the last year or two. His wrestling style has been phenomenal. He can do aerial stuff. He can do some power stuff. He's a pretty big dude himself. And I think that he's going to somehow find a way to retain the title.
Yep, I agree. I don't know how they booked the finish. I can see one of these RKO to KO. You know, somehow Logan Paul gets Randy out of the ring and then he pins down Kevin Owens. That's how I see it. I don't think Logan Paul is beating fucking Randy Orton, that's for sure. Not this year. Match that I have absolutely no care in the world about, other than Paul Ellering is managing, which I think is badass. The 6-man Philly Street Fight, The Pride, which is Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez. I believe those are the Street Profits. Versus the Final Testament. I am not greatly familiar with the Final Testament, other than Karrion Kross is still wrestling. I don't know the two guys that he's with. I don't watch SmackDown, so I am completely fucking lost.
Do they have all these weird, like, biblically tied, like, fucking tag team names, man?
Paul Ellering thing. That's Paul Ellering going to Triple H and going, what do you think of this? And he's like, I love
the Final Testament.
I fucking love that. Russell put it on his shirt.
Hate it.
Who you got? This is the definition of a piss break match. And I'm sorry.
No, this is definitely one of those, like, get up and go check your fucking hot wings in the oven or fucking take a leak.
Cody and Roman's next. Hurry up.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits win. I think it's pretty.
Yep, I agree. They want to get Lashley at W. They want to get the Street Profits at W. I agree with you. I'm sure it'll be tables and ladders and chairs and all that fun.
I love the Street Profits. Unless fucking Final Testament shows up, dressed up like Legion of Doom, I don't give two shits about this match.
You can't do that because Blackpool Combat Club did that gimmick already. You can't do it twice. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes.
Let's fucking go.
You and I both are in agreement that this will be a Bloodline rules match. Anything fucking goes. Who knows who could come in from under the ring, outside of the ring, propel from the ring like Sting. Who you got?
Well, I think that you're going to disagree with me. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 100% that you're going to disagree with me. But I think that Roman wins this match. I think that Roman wins this match, whether it's clean or whether there's interference or whatever. I just don't think that Cody beats Roman. Roman has been the staple, and I'm going to say unfortunately, because I can name five other wrestlers that I would rather see be champion right now. But Roman was the guy picked, and he's been the guy that they've continued to pick, and they put him over and over and over and over so many times. I think that Cody coming here, I don't think that WrestleMania is where he gets his story finished. I think that maybe he gets a win over Roman at some other point in time. Maybe it is SummerSlam. Maybe it's the Rumble later down the year. But I just don't think that they let Roman go down in flames at WrestleMania.
Hey, you and I are in complete disagreement. I think Cody wins. I think Cody finishes the story. I have no idea what you do after he finishes the story.
That's the problem.
I think you're going to get a absolute smorgasbord of guys running in, of bloodline guys running in. You're going to get we talked about this more than a handful of times, and I'm not coming off of this. I think you're going to get Rikishi involved. I think you're going to get his mom involved. Cody's mom involved. The Rock's mom involved. Fucking, there's somebody else that I was thinking of. Someone else's parents involved. I just think there's a fucking Mank. Haku is going to get involved. I just think anyone that's alive that has any type of a bloodline or you know, lineage to the bloodline that were originally put up in that big family tree that The Rock put up months ago in that press conference, they're going to be involved. I would not be surprised if we get Stone Cold involved and we get that Stone Cold versus The Rock fucking stare down at WrestleMania. You and I are going to be fucking losing our shit if that happens. I think you're going to get just an absolute smorgasbord of it's going to be a shit show. And I think it devalues Cody winning a little bit, because I think the right thing to do here is to
let him win clean.
Have the fucking bloodline cleaned out, and it's Cody and it's fucking Roman one-on-one, and maybe this is where you get The Rock saying, Roman, this is where you should prove to me that you're the fucking head of the table. I'm walking away. Beat that motherfucker. I pinned him last night. You pin him tonight. And that doesn't happen. And then you get Roman going, you left me for dead. I lost my championship. I've lost it all because of you. Let's fight. There's some substance there. But I think you don't devalue the Cody win, and you let him beat Roman fucking clean. Do three crossroads and pin his ass. That's how I would book it. But I'm not sure how they book it, and I think it's going to lean more towards absolute smorgasbord. I'm stealing Sean Ross Sapp's statement. I think it's going to be Avengers Endgame, and where you just have fucking eight guys who have been done dirty by the bloodline come out and take on the eight random bloodline members that are out there. It's like, who knows who else will be out there? Tama Tonga and fucking Jacob Fatu and fucking who knows who else. They'll all be out there.
I absolutely, if this is the way that it goes, then I absolutely hate it, because I truly don't think that this finishes Cody's story whatsoever. I think that it just tarnishes the story a little bit.
Because yeah, I agree.
It makes the Cody believers out there believe that Cody just wasn't good enough to get the job done by himself.
You can argue that, but I think the Cody crybabies like myself are going to be crying when he raises the championship and goes, "This is for you, Dad," and he gives it to Mama Rhodes, and he's bleeding, and they embrace his brothers. They show his brother. They blur out his brother's face, and he shows his brother there. I don't know. Jess, we've done it. We've done our WrestleMania takes. We crammed it all in. We went strong, 80 plus minutes. Any plugs? Anything?
Well, I just want to say rest in peace to the TMB pod, apparently.
No, don't do that. Don't do
that. I hope that we see a resurrection of the TMB pod. I hope it maintains. Tyler and Brian, I hope that everything works out. Or at least that Tyler can maintain. I also want to shout out Fat Boy Fadeaway, Far Into the Bench. I love both all those pods. And, of course, they all stem from Variety Sports Network, so you can follow them at Variety _sports_.
Jesse, why don't you and I and our boy Darren from Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports, why don't we just fill in for Brian until he feels well enough to come back? And then
I think that we do it. Like, I already reached – I'm going to be honest. You've done it twice. I already reached out to Tyler. I already reached out to our boy, Tyler. Oh, wow. I said, hey.
How dare you? I said,
if you need a backup, then I will help. But I don't know. I can't do a whole lot of San Francisco 49ers stuff. So.
Nah, you mix it up. That's the tough thing about TMB is it's very Niner-centered.
So my heart belongs to that other sports show, and everybody knows that. That's where my loyalty lies. I will never put another pod above what we do. But to do a fill-in spot here and there, I don't mind. Jason and I both have done it. We'll do it again. We got our boys' backs. So
shout out Fatboy Fadeaway Sports, always holding it down. He's doing baseball stuff now. I'm gonna start migrating to his baseball pod and watching that. Shout out Double Double Podcast, shout out Variety Sports, shout out Che Rollins looking thick.
Justin Von Doom, you in the new look, Houston.
He's Texas. Winning. He's winning today. He's life winning is huge. Good. This fucking guy was at a I hope he hears this. This guy was at a house on social media. That was like what the fuck do you call this thing? It's like an art museum, but it was some real tripped out art. He was looking at some cool shit. He had a phone that was like a lobster phone. It was cool. I was like, man, that shit is cool. All right, yo, that's all I got, Jess. Hit the wrap it up button, please.